Be'ez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Shisha Asa, the 16th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchas Machalos Asuros in the Laws of Forbidden Foods in the Sefer Kedusha, which we continue in the theme of the previous Perek, which was discussing laws of Taroivis and mixtures of forbidden food items. Here we continue regarding those that have Isuri Hano, that are prohibited to benefit from it. The Rambam opens up here in Halacha Aleph regarding the exceptions to the rules of what is considered something that will be bottle, that will be nullified in the mixture. Specifically regarding things that are leavening and spices. As Ram says, Kol ha-shiur me'elu. All these measurements, shenosnu chachamim ladaba aser, that the sages gave, but something that's forbidden, shenis ar b'mina hamota, they got mixed into a permitted entity of the same species that the thing that got mixed into. That's all b'shalahoye hadaba ha-aser mechamet. That's only if the prohibited item was not an item of leavening, oy metabal or a spice, oy daba chashrim shu oy mitkameshu, or something distinguished that stands on its own, and that it didn't get mixed in, totally dissolved in the thing that's permitted. Rather, you just don't recognize which is the forbidden piece, but it's distinct. That's what we said in the previous parak regarding each one accordingly. What is the share of the bitl? 60, 100, 200, and so on. Says the Rambam, but if let's say it was a leavening, fermenting, or it's a spice. In other words, it has enough to spice or ferment this mixture. Something distinguished on its own. Then it can make it forbidden, even a minute amount. As Rambam says, Allah base kate said, how so? So he explains. So if there's leavening of wheat that is truma, which is a forbidden leavening, which falls into a wheat dough of chulin, which is min b'minai, with the sa'ar of truma, because they're both wheat, and there's enough to go ahead and ferment that amount of dough. So the whole dough is considered a mixture of truma and chulin, and thus forbidden. And the chintval and shal truma, so too the same. Regarding, like we said, regarding spices of truma. Shenaf, like there's chulin that falls into a pot of chulin of unconsecrated produce. V'yeshbam kedei l'tabel, and there's enough to spice the whole dish. And v'heimim min ha-chulin, and it's from the same species as the chulin dish that it's falling into, because in contrast, if it was min she'ena min, it was two different types, then it would only be based on if it gives a taste. But here we're talking about min b'minai, in this case, ha-kol medum, it's all considered one forbidden mixture of truma and chulin. Now, v'af ha-pish ha-sor ha-tavon echad me'alaf, even though the leavening or the spice is one out of 1,000, which that far surpasses anything we said in the previous paragraph. It needs at most 60 to 1, 100 to 1, 200 to 1. No, even 1,000 to 1 can be forbidden. And the chen sa'or shal kalei kerem, same thing is regarding leavening of a forbidden mixture from a vineyard that was a kalayim. If that falls into l'teichis, into the dough, a tvon shal arla, or let's say the spice of arla from the fruits of the first 3 years, which is forbidden, if that falls in l'teichis, there into a pot, like we said, everything's going to be forbidden to have benefit from it, even though it's way beyond that of the general halachas of bittel. And that's because these are things that are considered that much chashiv, because it's a maimid, it's creating the thing, or it's a double chashiv, maybe it's not going to be bottled even in 1,000. And the Ram continues halacha gimel, regarding this idea about being a davar chashev. Davar chashev, shu eser b'mina b'choshu. Regarding, like we said, if there's a distinguished entity that's going to make it forbidden in the same species, even a minute amount, they are shivadvam. There are seven things. Ve'elehem, and they are, egoizi perech, the perech nuts, b'rimayin baden, and the baden pomegranates, which perech and baden were the names of certain places, which those were chasheva entities, and b'chavi yisutumais, closed barrels, the chulfis trodden, and the shoots of beets, which specifically the word chulfis is like from the term of what exchanges, meaning what sprouts out. We're not talking about what you actually put into the ground, but rather what sprouts out after that. Those beet shoots, the kilchi kruv and the cabbage heads, with lasivonis and the Greeks' gourd or squash, the kikershal balabais, and the loaves of bread made by a homeowner, which in Talmudic times, those loaves of a homeowner were bigger from that of the bakers, which these seven things were things that are only sold by number, which each one individually is creates a charge, in contrast by other produce, which from the same species, unlike these exact things, they're not so distinguished, and they're just sold, you know, by estimate when they're all together. So according to that, actually, these seven things are specifically because of what's called davish b'minyan, because they're numbered, so it gives us a specific significance for each one. So it's a chashuv thing, and therefore, this is not going to be batal, even 1,000, meaning it's going to be naked, also even makoshu. As Rama says, Allah chadal ketzer, how so? So, rima in echad, one pomegranate, Mirimani Badon, Shahaya Arlo, from these distinguished, like we said, the pomegranates from Badon, which was Arlo, which was forbidden, the fruit in the first 3 years. Then this are become a lot more money. This makes it into thousands, many thousands of regular, non-prohibited pomegranates. Hakol also banal. Like I said, all is going to be forbidden to have benefit from it. And v'chein chabes setuma shel yein arlo or shel klei kerem. Same thing is regarding a closed barrel, which is also one of those seven items, like we said, of arlo wine or of klei kerem wine. Should this are become a lot more chabes setuma? It got mixed into many thousands of closed barrels, hakolas or mano, it's all forbidden to have benefit. And b'chein shahar shevet ram, same thing applies to all the other seven things that we said, that their iser is going to be even in a thousand. Halacha hey, now b'chein chatecha shal neveh, same thing applies to a slice of neveh meat. Oy shal b'sar behema, oy chaya, oy dog atmeim, or non-kosher meat, wild animal meat, or bird, or fish meat. Shenesar b'kam alaf mechatecha, they got mixed into many thousand pieces of meat. Hakolas, it's all going to be forbidden, because a slice is considered a chash of a thing, until you take out that piece, then you can evaluate the rest of a ratio to 60 to 1, because we're talking about where it got cooked in. If it wasn't cooked in, you took out the prohibited entity. But again, you got to take it out and then have a bit of shishim of the taste. And the reason is shim like be, because if you don't take out that piece, hari had davah also emid v'leinishtan, the prohibited piece is right here, nothing changed. And the chaticha chashuva etzlay, and the piece is distinguished on its own. Shadim is covered by lefnei archin, because one could be honored by serving this in front of guests, so it's considered a double chashuv, and therefore it's not bottled even in a thousand. Halacha vav. V'hadim chaticha shabasa b'chav. The same applies to a piece of meat and milk. So although the entity became forbidden because of absorptions, where the milk got absorbed in the meat, this is not considered, like we said in the previous halacha, regarding when it gets absorbed, that the reason for that is because basa b'chalav, really actually the meat and milk are actually independently permitted. It's the mixture that is the prohibition, and therefore it's intrinsically a dvar iser. But again, it's a piece. Or let's say a slice of a regular animal, but it was slaughtered in the azar, where sharehem asur medivrei mano, although that it's actually only rabbinically prohibited to have benefit from it, k'moshe shizbar b'chashchit, like Rambam can explain in the laws of slaughtering, but still, eisim b'choshem, it's going to make whatever got mixed into, even a minute amount, prohibited, until you remove it from the mixture. And v'chein gid hanasha, same thing is regarding the gid hanasha, the sciatic nerve, shenizbashel magidin oyem abasa, that was cooked with the other ligaments, or with meat, bismanchemekir, when you recognize the gid hanasha, like b'oy, you take it out, v'ashramu, the rest can be permitted. Here you don't have to do the subsequent shishim, because the gid itself doesn't give any taste. Where we're talking about where, obviously, you cook the gid without the fats, because if you didn't take off the fats, that would be giving taste and would be prohibited. But if you don't recognize the gid, everything's going to be forbidden. Like we said, in the Shum period, but it's its own entity. So that gives it significance. And it's going to make it forbidden, even with a minute amount. Now, Allah Chazayim, v'chein kol bali chayim, so to all living creatures, chashuvim heim ve'inim b'teilim. They're considered distinct in their own sense, and therefore they're not nullified. L'fikich, therefore, shah ha'niskel, the ox that has to be stoned because it went and killed the person, sh'nis'or be'el v'shalom, if it got mixed into 1,000 oxen, so you have the creature by itself. Or ve'egla rufa be'el v'agol, so you have the decapitated calf, which has that halacha, once it goes into the valley, when you have to cut off its head because of someone who died in the road, you don't know who killed them, and it got mixed into 1,000 different calves. Or you have the bird from the Mitzrayim, which has to be slaughtered, because there's two birds that Mitzrayim brings when he's healed from his saras. One gets slaughtered, and the other one gets sent away, and the slaughtered one is forbidden to have anah, and it got mixed into Be'el Tzibarim with 1,000 other birds. Or the donkey, the firstborn, that if one doesn't exchange it for a sheep, again, its head has to be cut off, and it got mixed with 1,000 other donkeys. Again, kul masur manah, they're all going to be forbidden to have benefit, because the Isra anah, even that, even the prohibited benefit of it, is not nullified. Now, that's all regarding these things that are davachashav, of a shahadvam, but all other things, af bishadakim lemonis, even though it's normal to count them, you sell it by number, hare elo oil mishum, they're going to be nullified in the measurements that we have said in the previous parak, because we only said it by things that everyone is particular to sell by number, and by counting, and not things that are normal, but not everybody does that. As Rambam says, Allah has ketzer haso. A gudush yarek miklai kerem, a bundle of vegetables from a vineyard that had forbidden mixtures of grapes together with wheat and barley. Shenis arvim masam a gudush, that bundle of vegetables got mixed into 100, 200 other bundles. which does the share of bitl of klayim, a estrig shel arla, or an estrig from an arla tree. Shin the sabim sem esrogim, they got mixed in 200 other estrogim. Hakomot, everything's going to be permitted with the classic halacha of arla and klayim being 200 to 1. And anything that's similar to that, because although many people would sell it by number, but not everyone does, and therefore that's not considered davish shadark, that's not considered something that is only done through limonis of counting, and therefore it does not have that level of chashivas to not be nullified in a mixture that's 200 to 1. Now, says the Rama Halacha Teske Yerali, it seems to me, if something is considered specifically distinguished in a place of certain places, for example, it's like a goizi perch reminding button by Eretz Yisrael by Sazman. It's like those perch nuts and those button pomegranates in Eretz Yisrael in those times. Where in this place, this happens to be a davar chashiv. So then it is going to make something, a mixture prohibited, even a minute amount, according to its significance, for that place, in that time. Because we didn't mention these seven things, because they make a mixture forbidden, a minute amount, in every place. Something would apply what's similar in other places. And says the Rambam, that's clear, that all these prohibitions are rabbinic, when it makes a forbidden minute amount, whether because it's a davar sheish lamatirin, or because it's davar chashav, or because of a barrier, or because of a balechayim, that this is a rabbinic law. And it's not specifically, we said these seven things, it's if it has this chashivas. Now, Halacha Yud, the Rambam continues regarding these laws of taraybis, of forbidden mixtures, regarding if there creates another mixture, a secondary and tertiary, a third level type of a mixture. As Rambam says, Nafal riman echad, Minat Tarevah says this. Okay, so we have this forbidden mixture, which we said no matter how many kosher pomegranates there are, this one Ramoni button falls in, it makes the whole mixture forbidden. Now, one pomegranate from this mixture, we don't know which one it is, falls Lishnei Ramoni Macherim, Ramoni button, falls into two other pomegranates from the pomegranates of button, which are permitted, and Vinavim Lashleisha. Now, from that second mixture, one falls from those three. One pomegranate, two other pomegranates, to a third mixture. So those other ones are going to be permitted. And the reason for that is, because the pomegranates from the first mixture is batel barayv, is nullified in the majority. I mean, biblically, there's halacha bitel barayv. And it's only rabbinically forbidden, as Rambam explained in the previous halacha. Now, so therefore, that when it falls into the third mixture, it's going to be permitted. The reason for that is because this is what we have, a svek sveka. It's really two svekas. Maybe the pomegranate that came from the first mixture and fell into the second one, maybe that first one was not the arla rimon. And even if you're going to say that from the first one was the arla one that fell into the second one, maybe the one that came from the second one to the third one is not the first one that fell into the second one. So therefore, it's going to be permitted. Now, v'mnafel minat harebis harishayna rimon le'eleth. But let's say a pomegranate that came from the first mixture, even into 1,000, kul masun, they're all going to be forbidden. Because loinem abatl barav, we don't say the halacha being nullified in the majority, elahat sveik sveikim, only to permit, like we said, a suffix of a suffix, a doubt of a doubt. Where by the second mixture, however, there's no two doubts, because it's just this one doubt regarding the first forbidden mixture, if is it the original one or not. So we give the halacha like one doubt. Because the Rambam says, it's only if a svek sveka, which it falls from the second mixture into a third mixture, then the tzar can be forbidden, as we explained, or anything similar to that, then we won't make it forbidden. Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam continues regarding the nullification of these exceptions, which we said do not have nullification, that there could be situations where they will be nullified, as Rambam explains. Nispatsu egoizim elu. So we said that these egoizim, these nuts of perech were chashiv, they're distinguished, and therefore there's no bitl, that's not nullified. What happens if these nuts crack open? Shenesu kulam ne egoiz arla shemaneim, and the whole reason why the whole mixture was forbidden was because of these arla nuts were between them, oy or, and Ram goes through the other cases, nisparu hermainim, the pomegranates, which were these badan, with these badan pomegranates, which are chashiv, let's say they fell apart. Or when the spatcha chavis, or the barrels were opened up. Or when the schatcha dluin, or these gourds, these Greek squash that was chashim, they got cut up. Or when the sparsaki karas achashinesu, or these loaves got sliced up after they were forbidden. Then hare elu yala be'achamasim. Then they will be nullified in this classic halacha of a mixture of 200 to 1, because now it lost its significance. And behuad din lechatichas nevelish, and indoicha bechla lechatichas, v'nasa kol kamashi, so too, if let's say you have a piece of nevela meat, which we said has a chashivas, but then it got crushed up. in amongst all the other pieces. And now it's all mixed in together, where if not, if you were able to recognize the Isser, obviously it wouldn't be Basri, you would have to take it out, but now it's all mixed together, then Oyla B'Shishim, then we'll have the nullification of 60 to 1, before we just talk about those that like Orla and Klam that require 200 to 1, but here we're Treif and Meat, which is requires a nullification of 60 to 1, it loses its Chashivas, it will be Batal. Now, however, although we said that it could have the nullification, says Rama Lochid Beis, but for Asal of Tzai HaGayz, and one cannot go ahead and deliberately do this, to crack open the knots, or the far mind to pull apart the pomegranates, both Techos, to open up the barrels, Achashanesu, once it was already forbidden in this mixture, Kadesh Yal Be'ach Masayim, oh, that, oh, well, if it loses Chashivitz, there's 300 to 1, 1,000 to 1, let me just crack it and it'll be nullified. No. Because we're not allowed to initially go ahead and create a nullification of something that's prohibited. Then Asakhan, if someone does this, claims to nice that we penalize them, but Isamalab, and make it forbidden on him, specifically, in contrast to other people. Kameshman, like we explained already in the previous parak in Halacha Chafei. Now, Halacha Gimel Rambam continues regarding a mixture of different prohibited entities of the spices and those leavening ingredients. As Rambam says, Sa'ur Shel Klei HaKeyam, let's say there's leavening of Kalayim, from a that's forbidden because it was other types of seeds were planted in the vineyard. Vishal Truma. And it's also Sa'ar of Truma, which is a different prohibition. Shanovel Techa Yisa, these two leavening ingredients fell into a dough. Now, Lebezikadei Lechametz, but Lebezikadei Lechametz, like we had previously said, it has to have enough to leaven it, to ferment it. Even though, let's say, it's a ratio of 1,000 to 1, it doesn't make a difference. As long as it ferments it, it's going to make it prohibitive. Now, each one independently actually does not have enough. But Bishneim Keshit Star for Yesh Bemkadei Lechametz, now the two of them in combination, it has enough to make it leavened. So Oitza Isa Asur LiYisrael Muter Sakan. That dough is going to be forbidden to a regular non-kohen. It's going to be permitted to a kohanim because the truma element is obviously not a problem with the kohanim. But for a Yisrael, the two ingredients ultimately are leavening it, and both are forbidden to him anyway. So the dough is going to be forbidden. Now v'chein tefilim shal truma v'shal klei hakerem. So too is let's say spices. We keep on talking about these two cases of leavening or spices, which have the same idea about impacting the whole pot, even though it's a very small amount. So let's say again, you have a mixture of truma and klei hakerem. Shnafel techekideh that falls into a pot. V'loy be'ach bem kedel tabel. Now you don't have enough in each one independently to spice it. But if shneim kedel tabel, two of them together could spice it. So kederah asul yisrael. Again, that pot is forbidden to a yisrael. Shari dav ha'aslam tibul, because ultimately it's something that's forbidden to them that's spicing the dish. U'metesakam, but again, it's permitted to the kam because yeah, the klei for them that's forbidden doesn't have enough on its own to make it spiced or leaven. But and the truma that helps it is actually permitted to them, and therefore that would not make it forbidden. Now, Alach Adal Ram qualifies, and he says, Tvalim shem shnayim o shloisha shemis miminachas. We're talking about things combining together to create iser. So if you have spices that are two or three different types from the same species, oy, or the other way, shloisha minim shem echad, or you have three species that are from the same type. Mitzdar from the top of a lesser, so they could combine to spice something to make it forbidden. And v'chein l'cham is simply regarding leavening something. As Ram says, Ketzer Hasso. So he gives an example. Sa'ur shel chitin was sa'ur shel sa'ur. If you have the yeast of wheat and that of barley, now hoil v'shem sa'ur echad, who since the type, even though it's not the same species, because one's wheat, one's barley, but they're both the same type, and that is they're both sa'ur. So enim kimin v'sheinim min. It's not like having one type and one that's not its type. El ha'arehim kimin echad. It's like one species. Hence, umitztarf l'shabem, and they combine to evaluate them, k'dei l'chametz b'yisrael shel chitin, to see if it's going to create a leavening in a dough of wheat, im ha'yatam shneim tam chitin, if both of them give a taste of wheat, which we need to have that they're making it forbidden together, that it should have the same taste recognizable in the forbidden dough, where, for example, if let's say the wheat yeast is more, and because then you can't go ahead and taste it in the wheat dough, because if it didn't have the same taste, then actually it would actually go based on tam. So as long as it has a taste of both of them together, that of wheat, or maybe to ferment the a dough of barley, both of them had the taste of barley, but be that as it may, they're going to combine together to make it the min b'minoi, to make it forbidden in the dough that it's got mixed into. Now, that was one case. Halachat Ezvav, the Ram continues, and you could have Shleisha Shemis Mimin Echad. You could have three different types from the same species. Ketzer Hauso. Kugoin, and we said regarding two types, we had from two different species and the same type. Now we're saying three types from the same species. Ketzer Hauso. Gugurin kapresh al naharis. You have the parsley from the rivers, v'kapresh al afar, and you have the parsley of the meadows, v'kapresh al gin, you have the parsley of the garden. Afa pishakalech memshim b'fnasim. Although each one is really its own type, like you see, it's called something else. But ho'y b'heim menechad, since they're from the same species, mitzdar from the table. Again, there before they were different species, but the same type, both are. Here, they're different types, but they're from the same species, the old parsley. So mitzdar from the table, again, they're going to combine to go ahead and spice and make the, if they're forbidden entities, to make the mixture forbidden. Halacha Tazayin, the Ram continues regarding how do we evaluate the halacha of that it's creating, that it's spicing the whole dish. As the Ram explains, Isamuch Metzis, let's say the dough is already fermented. Shunafalu Techa Soshal Truma, and now there's Truma yeast that falls into it. A Soshal Kalayakam, or another type that's forbidden, the leavening of a Kalayim from a vineyard. Or similar cases, Kedema Dubelis, you have a pot that's already spiced. Which again, we keep on bringing these two cases about leaven and spice. Shunafalu Techa Devon Shal Truma, that inside falls Truma spice. Or Shal Arlo, Vishal Kalayakam, or from Arlo, or Kalayakam. So it says Rambam, Im yesh besar kedei lechametz, if the leavening has enough to ferment, ilo hoisa matzah, had it been that the dough was unleavened or over tefillin, let's say regarding the spices, kedei letabla kedei, there's enough to spice a pot, ilo hoisa tefillin, had the pot been unspiced, this would have given the flavor in the pot, harei kolasa, then everything's going to be forbidden, even though it doesn't need it because it's already spiced or it's already leavened. Now, let's say it does not have enough to spice it or to leaven it, then yalla b'shirim, then again it goes based on the classic measurements, truma b'echad meya, truma goes 101, v'arlo k'lai k'arim b'echad m'sayim, and they go with a ratio of 201, because it doesn't have the halacha of a tavlin and mechametz if it's not giving that taste or that leavening into the whole pot. Halacha Yitzam D'Ram continues regarding where, paradoxically, a prohibited entity will actually combine to actually create a leniency in contrast to a different prohibition. As Ram says, Hatruma malas ha'arlevas klakarim. Sometimes it could happen that truma will actually nullify the other prohibited entities of arl and klakarim. As Ram says, Kate said, how so? So let's say you have saw truma, you have a measurement of truma, shenaf latisha betishim chul, that fell into a mixture of 99 of chul. Now, so it's 100 that's being nullified. Into the whole mixture falls in chatzi sa shal arlo isha klaikem, a different prohibition of arlo klaikem, a half a sa, which is essentially a ratio of 201, because it's that of 100 to a half. Inka nisa arlo, v'leisa klaikem. In this mixture, there's no isa of arlo klaikem. Shari ala be'echem sam, because there's batel in the ratio of 200 to 1. Even though some of the 200, which is nullifying, is truma, but in relation to truma, this is something that is being nullified. And halacha itcha says Ram, so to begin, is ha'arl b'klai ha'kerem malnes truma. Something you could have, that arl and klai ha'kerem could nullify truma. Okay, it's a hassle. So let's have me'as sa shal arlo ish klai ha'kerem. You have 100 measurements of arlo klai ha'kerem. Sh'navol teich esrim elf shachun, that falls into 20,000 measurements of chulin, which is really a ratio of 200 to the 100 sa of arlo that fell in. So nasa kalatarebis esrim elef emeis. So the whole mixture is now 21,100. And they were nullified already. And the achach nevelachol meis saw. Now into every 100 saw fell in asa shel truma, asa b'truma. Harakol mut, everything can be permitted. V'tal truma bechamei. Now the truma is going to be bottled in the ratio exactly of 100 to 1. V'ab bishem mikzav mei hamal noisa. Even though some of the 100, which proportionally each one is going to have some of that 100 is going to have arla klaikem, doesn't make a difference because this was already part of the mixture, and now this truma is not making an impact, which the Chacham gave for this 100 to 1, and for the Arlan Klaikem is 201. Halach Yitess. V'chein so too, ha'arla. Malas Klaikem, you could have Arla nullifying Klaim. V'Klaikem is Arla, you could have Klaim nullifying Arla. V'Kilaikem is Kilaikem, you have Klaim nullifying Klaim. V'Arla is Arla, you could have Arla nullifying Arla. Says Ram, says Kate said, how so? Like this. Masayim Sa'ashal Arla, or Shal Klaikem. If you have 200 measurements of arlo or klayim, shenafla arbam elef chulin, that falls into 40,000 of chulin. So again, we're talking about where this has the ratio of 200 to 1 and nullifying it. V'akach nevelachol masayim sa shel arlo ishak klayim. Now in the new mixture, you have 200 that there's a measurement of arlo klayim that falls into 200 sa in opposite to it. hakol mutar, everything's going to be permitted. Shekivin shabat le'isra shenavat chil, this is the primary principle the Rambam was saying in the halachas, that since the prohibition that originally fell in was already nullified, nasa kol kechulin mutar, so everything becomes like permitted chulin. And therefore, now when the next isra falls in, guess what? It's falling into the added mixture that already became chulin, and is going to be able to attack the new isra that's falling in, and thus nullifying it. So you could have a isra nullifying a subsequent isra. Halacha chav, the Rambam continues regarding things related to Arlo, which we were discussing, were in the laws of Bittel. The Rambam says, Begesh etzvoy beklipa Arlo, regarding a garment that was dyed with a shell from an Arlo fruit, Yisarf has to be burnt just like the halachas as relate to Arlo. Now, in Sarbachim, that garment got mixed with other garments. Yala Bechem Asayim, here, since it's not the actual Arlo itself, it will be nullified in the as in the classic halacha of Arlo. It requires a nullification of 201. And v'chin tavshal shabishle b'klip arlo. Same thing is also regarding if you have a cooked dish that was cooked with the shells of arlo, or a pasha fo b'klip arlo b'klai kerem, or you have bread that was baked with the shells of arlo or with that of a klai kerem, yisarif ha'tavshal b'apas. So the bread and the cooked dish has to be burnt. And the reason is, shari hanei asin nikeres b'em, because the pleasure is recognizable in them, because there's what's called shvach etzem b'apas. You have the benefit of the prohibited a firewood, which is these shells of arlo, which are prohibited in the bread itself. Nesar b'chem, if these get mixed into other breads or other cooked dishes, again, yalla b'chem asam, you have to have the classic halacha of arlo, which is a nullification of a ratio of 200 to 1. Halacha chavav, b'chem beget to a garment, she'arig by maloy hasid, which let's say you wove just even maloy hasid, which is some explained like two thumb breadths, a very small amount. Shetzvoi ba'arlo, which was dyed with the arlo shells. Now, v'eini du ezehu, you don't know which part this was that was woven. Yalo bech masayim, it will be nullified in the ratio of 200 to 1. Let's say in this arvu saman, the arlo b'samani heter. Let's say the dye which came from arlo got mixed into other dyes. Again, yalo bech masayim, it will be nullified in the ratio of 200 to 1. Now, mitzeva b'mitzeva. Now, the dyed water from the arlo with other dyed water, that will be nullified just with a simple majority. And the reason for that is because since you don't have the substance of the prohibition itself, you have just a color, so that's not even like the garment which was dyed with the shells of arlo, because there you have the dye in the substance of the thing itself. Here it's just the color, and therefore that would be with a simple majority. Halacha Beis Ram continues regarding the halacha as relates to the fires and the coals of from a prohibited source. As Ram says, Tanur says, "Sika beklipa arlo beklei akerem." So you have an oven that was heated up with the shells of arlo that we're discussing about, or regarding the shells from klayim, from a forbidden mixture of a vineyard. So bein chadash bein yashin, whether it's a new oven or an old oven, and that's the chiddush with a new one, even though this was created now when you heat up for the first time, doesn't make a difference. The halacha is yutzan; you just have to let the oven cool down, and then you could heat up the oven with permitted fuel. And the reason for this is because although the oven essentially was created through the prohibited fuel, but since ultimately the wood that you're going to use to every time when you're making your bread is going to be permitted wood, that's what's called zevezeg goyrim. You have a prohibited and a permitted entity creating, which, like here, which is b'di'evit, because it was originally made like that, so then it's actually going to be mutter, it's going to be permitted. Now, but let's say b'mishal b'kodem shiyutzan, let's say you cooked your bread or your dish in there before it was cooled off, then bein pas bein tavshu, whether it's bread or a cooked dish, it's going to be forbidden to have benefit, as Ram explains. Yesh shavach atze iser, you have the benefit of the prohibited fuel, which was from these klipim of the arlo or from the klayim, but pas bein tavshu, it's coming into this bread that you're baking or the food that you're cooking. Now, let's say garvis kalish, let's say you really shoveled out all the fire. And then you went and you cook it, or you bake it in the heat of the oven, which obviously the oven's still hot, but you took out all the fuel. Because ultimately the prohibited wood was taken away, so therefore then the food is going to be permitted. Halachah of Gimel, says the Rambam, kares, plates, vikaises, and bowls, and cups, or kederis, and pots, or tzlichis, and bottles, shebishlon hayoitzer beklipa arlo, that the potter went and cooked these utensils in with shells of arlo. These vessels are prohibited to have benefit for them, and the reason for that is because since the benefit from these bottles are going to be without a second cause, it's going to be only with the primal cause that formed the bottle, which was the benefit is in the bottle that prohibited fuel, in contrast by the oven, like we said, you're not benefiting from the oven itself. You're heating it up. It's from the heat, which is going to be permitted wood. That's called zeves egoim. That's going to be mutter. But over here, we're just using the bottle itself, which was made from the prohibited shells. Shari dava ha'asa ba'ana, because something that's forbidden to have benefit, also isim chadash made them new, and therefore that's going to be forbidden to have the benefit. Halach chabdalat. Pasha bishlagabi gecholim shal atzi arlo. Let's say bread was baked on coals from arlo wood, meaning from the shells of the fruit of the arlo. Here it's muteris, it's going to be permitted. Why? Because kemish nasa gecholim, once the shells became coals, halach yisurin. So the prohibition has been removed, because it's not here anymore, it turned into coals, which is not the original entity. After Bishem Baris, although they're flaming, but again, the original entity of the shells are not here anymore. So the bread's going to be permitted. Kedera pot, shebishel oisa, which the pot itself was made, was cooked, beklipa arlo, in shells from arlo, or beklai kerem, or from a forbidden mixture of a vineyard. Now, uba'atze heter, now with permitted wood, hari had tavshel, so the cooked dish that was subsequently made in that pot, which had the permitted wood, usur, that's going to be forbidden. Why? Because even though when you're making the cooked dish, it's with that original pot, which is forbidden, together with the permitted wood. But the reason is, because when the actual pot was made, because the prohibited shells of the arlo, they didn't have yet the permitted woods of the permit, which was not problematic. So the nimsa mixes a bishul. So it comes out that some of the cooking was ba'atse heter, was with the permitted wood. Some of it was with the forbidden. And the reason is because the pot, again, like we said, was made with prohibited wood, which is containing the cooked dish, where before it was heated up with the permitted wood. Because in contrast to an oven, which you only put in once it's heated, a pot you first put it in, comes that you're benefiting from the prohibited wood without any permitted wood. And therefore, that's why here, unlike the case of the oven, it's going to be forbidden. Halach of Hederam continues regarding that of these laws of Taroivis as relates to saplings, trees, and in regard to preparing, making cheese. The Ram says, Netiyah shel arlo, if there's a sapling of an arlo, which is a tree in its first 3 years, shel nesarfim min hatzis, got mixed with other trees. You don't know which one it is. Uvechen arugah shel klei hakerem barugah, so let's say you have a row of that which is from a forbidden mixture with a vineyard, with other rows, and you don't know which sapling or which row is from that which is forbidden. So you could initially go ahead and pluck the fruits from all of the trees and all of the rows. Now, the moisin the tea, but mesayim the tea. So what it depends is like this. If this sapling was in 200 other saplings, and this row was with 200 rows, I recall nekomuta, whatever you pluck the fruits is going to be permitted, because it has the bitl of 200 to 1. Less than that, whatever you gathered, whatever you harvested is going to be forbidden. Now, why did they initially allow you to go ahead and pluck the fruits? But the truth is, we should have made everything forbidden because as a decree that maybe the person is going to come to make a trick and he's going to go ahead and mix up his arla tree, even until he gets and he goes through the effort and he gets rid of that tree, until he gets rid of that row. Because the thing that we presume, a person's not going to want to make his whole vineyard forbidden because of one tree. If he would know, he would get rid of it. The Ram to be concerned that someone's going to initially do that. So after the fact, if it does have a nullification of 200 to 1, we're going to allow that to go ahead and permit those fruits. Now, if someone that makes cheese, Bisraf Pagi Arla, with the sap that comes out of the unripe fruits of an arla tree, which is forbidden, like bekeves to kreves avodah zarah, or with the stomach from an animal that was a sacrifice for idolatry, or the vinegar from wine that was from avodah zarah, so that cheese is going to be forbidden to have benefit from it. Now, av bishu min b'shein min, although this is one species in a totally different species, fruit sap is not, or animal stomach is not the same as cheese, and av bishu kosher, and even though it's just a minute amount. And the reason is, Shari had davar ha'asa hu ha'nikr, because the prohibited entity over here is recognizable, so it's like it's over here, which you're always forbidden to have benefit. V'hu sha'asa isa gvina, and it's that which makes it into cheese, which the Rambam, interestingly here, is telling us the difference between what we had previously spoken about regarding fermenting something or spicing something, which we said that when it's bimbisha inamina, it's only going to be problematic if it gives a taste. And here what we call davar ha'maim, something that's creating the entity, where here, this entity is making the cheese. Over there, regarding the leavening, it's not making the dough. The spice is not making the cooked dish, it's just making it better. So there, if it's min b'she'ni min, it's only to give it taste. Here, since it's making the thing itself, it's going to be usher, even though it's min b'she'ni min, and even though it's a minute amount. Halacha b'zayin, the Rambam continues, says, arlo b'kalei kerem, the fruits of the first 3 years of the tree and the forbidden mixture in the vineyard, did not perish shalem she'yisareifu, the halacha is by those produces that they should be burnt. And the vamashkin shlehem, the beverages, the liquids that come out of them, you kovei, they should be buried. Nishiyef shalisra vamashkin, you can't burn liquids, and therefore you do what it is, which, okay, then you bury it. Halacha chavches, the Rambam continues regarding these laws of taraiva, specifically for that of yayin nesach. The Rambam says, yayin shenis nasach labadizar, wine that was poured for idolatrous purposes, shenis armayan, they got mixed with kosher wine, hakol asa banah, b'choshra, everything's forbidden to have benefit, even a minute amount of the yayin nesach. To much more like we had already explained in the previous parak on halacha vav and zayin. Now, but Medvar Mum says, Ram, when do we say this? B'shehurak hayayin hamutter, it's when you're pouring the kosher wine, a tipa shel yayin nesach, on a drop of yayin nesach, because every drop of kosher wine that falls in becomes prohibited in that mixture, so it's all forbidden. Avlam eri yayin nesach mitzil zakad, but if you're pouring yayin nesach from a small flask, into a pit of kosher wine, even if you're pouring the whole day, so you're obviously pouring in a lot of yayin nesach, rishon bottle, every drop that falls into the yayin nesach becomes nullified in the mixture of the kosher wine that's in the pit. Now, let's say you're pouring from a barrel, so then whether you're pouring from what's kosher into what's forbidden, I mean, from what's forbidden to the permitted, here everything's going to be forbidden, because the flow is coming out, it's coming from a large barrel, so there you don't say like a small little flash that drop is being bottled, here's coming a big flow, so then it will make it prohibited, like we said, even a kolshu of the yayin nesach into the kosher wine. Now, lach of tes, nisarv stam yayin b'yayin, let's say, not yayin nesach, but the regular wine of a non-Jew, which we also gave the halacha says yayin nesach get mixed into kosher wine. Hariza asa b'kosher b'shtiyah. So it's going to be forbidden even a minute amount of the mixture for drinking. But v'imach al kula l'goy, you could sell the whole mixture to a gentile. V'lekech d'me hayayin ha'aser shabai, and you'll take the profit of the prohibited amount of wine that was in that mixture. M'shlich l'me yamelach, and you take those profits and you throw it to the Dead Sea. V'yohon b'sharmas, and you can have benefit from the rest of the monies. So too is, let's say, you have a barrel of yayin nesach that gets mixed on, between kosher barrels of wine. Hakal asur mishtia, here also all is forbidden to drink, but it's permitted to have benefit. But again, the profits that you're going to get from the margin that is being added on because of the yayin nesach, and that you'll throw into the Dead Sea. And the same thing applies to a barrel of the regular wine from a Gentile that got mixed into kosher barrels. Again, you have to take those profits and throw it into the Yam HaMelech. Now, Alach HaLamed, Mayim, that's regular kosher water, since over B'yayin, that got mixed into Yayin Nesach, or Yayin, or let's say the other way around, you have kosher wine that gets mixed into B'mayim, prohibited water, which Rambam can explain at the end of Alach what exactly that is, it's been nice and tam. It's going to be depending if it's giving a flavor. And the reason they shame min b'shein minay, which is classic of the halacha, because it's two different species, you go based on the giver's taste. Now, but when did we say this? Is b'shenofel hamashka hamutter? Is if the kosher, the permitted liquid beverage, is falling l'tech hamashka asa into the prohibited beverage? Avlam nofel hamashka asa l'tech hamashka hamutter. But if let's say the prohibited beverage is falling into the permitted beverage, so rishon bottle, every drop that's coming in is going to be nullified. But v'hu, like we said before, shiurik mitzil sukat. If you're pouring from a small flask. Where you're pouring and dropping in little by little. And then the prohibited entity is going to be nullified as it falls into the kosher permitted one on the bottom. And the Ram just clarifies, how could you have prohibited water? What does that mean? Water is kosher. It's talking about where the water was either worshipped, or was used in the worship of an avodazar. Halacha yad alf, bershel yayin, a cistern, a pit of wine. Where first, it falls into the pit of wine, a flask of water, before the yayin nesach. Because va'akach nafal tech yayin nesach, and then subsequently, idolatrous wine falls into the pit of wine. So what you do over here is roim es yayin haheter kilu enai. So first of all, you look at the kosher wine as if it's not over here, meaning it's not going to combine with the water to nullify the yayin nesach. You have to have enough in the water itself to nullify the yayin nesach. Now why? Why isn't this the same thing as we learned in the previous parak on Halacha Beis, when you have min b'minay and davar achar, they got mixed together, that also even the mina is mitzarv to the enemin to nullify the isser. The reason is because over there we're talking about by isurim that are batal b'shishim with their species, which is in the measurement of does it give taste in the enemin. Over here, however, we're talking about yayin nesach, which the isser is b'minoi b'mashu. So here you cannot combine the mina to be nullified because min b'minoi is not going to be batal. So it's not going to help at all. So you have to disqualify him from the equation, the kosher wine. And now, v'amayim shenaflu, the water that fell in, mishar b'hem im yayin nesach, you measure that in relation to the amount of yayin nesach that fell in. Im ruin levat l'tam oisi yayin nesach, if there's enough water in that pit of wine to nullify the yayin nesach that fell in, harei ha'mayim rab nolav mabat, let's say, so the water is the majority and it nullifies it, v'yakom muta, then everything can be permitted. But again, the kosher wine is not going to be able to be used in that laws of bittul. Halach l'amid beiz, yayin nesach shenafal ala navim. If you have yayin nesach that falls on grapes, so yidichin meimutars bachil, you could just wash it off and then permitted to be eaten. Now v'moyim mevakoyes, but if the grapes were cracked, bein shal yahayayin yoshin, bein shal yachadish, whether it's old wine or new wine, if this in tamadav mevagir, which we're saying that's the chiddush, which grapes, grape juice, wine, it's all the same thing, whether old or new. If this in tamadav me give taste into the grapes, hareyel asus bana. So that prohibited wine is making giving taste into the grapes and different that benefit. If not hareyel mutars bachil, then you could even go ahead and eat those grapes. Halach l'amid gimel, let's say nafal gabitain, let's say it falls onto figs. Hadil mataris, they're going to be permitted. And the reason that is, because the wine gives a bad taste into the figs, which, as we learned in the previous parag, tam lav gam does not make something forbidden. Halach l'amid dalet, yayin nesach shnafal alachitim. If you have this idolatrous wine that falls onto wheat, so harei asuris bachila, so the wheat's going to be forbidden to eat. And the reason that is because wheat has cracks that it absorbs the wine. But mataris bana, but it's permitted to have benefit from it, meaning allowed to sell it to a Gentile, as we'll learn momentarily, only not in front of a Jew, after it was ground and baked, because you're not really having benefit from the Yayin Nesach, because when you're taking the profits, you're only from the amount how much the wheat costs, because in contrast, to actually have benefit from the wheat itself, that would be forbidden, because then you are having benefit from the wine, but the value you're not getting from that of the Yayin Nesach. Now, but the Rambam explains, but you shouldn't sell those wheat itself to a Gentile, because he might subsequently go sell it to a Jew, and the Jew's like, oh, this is wheat, this is what's problem? What's no problem kashrus wheat? The problem is it is, has Yayin Nesach inside of it. And the kid said, so what should he do with it? He's not using it himself, but he got benefit from it by selling it to a Gentile, but I thought you can't. So what he should do is toichen oisin. What he should do is he should grind down the wheat, make flour, make bread out of it, sell it to a Gentile, not in front of the Jew, because if he would, so that the Jew shouldn't buy from the Gentile, because if he saw a Jew sell it, he said, oh, this is Jewish bread, so he could buy from the Gentile. No, he doesn't know that a Jew sold it. He just sees a Gentile with bread. And Shari Pasga Asura, and just to buy bread from the Gentile himself, that's forbidden in Kamesh's bar, like we're going to explain in the next parak, Halacha Tes. Oh, so, why can't you check the wheat to see if it gives a taste, have a Gentile taste it, because wheat draws in the taste by yayin nevelben, and the wine gets absorbed in it, and it gets mixed in with the taste of the wheat, and you can't really ascertain if it has the taste or not, and that wouldn't be a permitted way of evaluating. Rather, make it into bread, sell it to the Gentile, and then it's never going to end up by a Jew. Halach l'amid hei, yayin nesach shehechmetz, regarding if you have yayin nesach that fermented, and it fell into the vinegar from beer, it's going to make it forbidden in a minute amount. Because the same species, although one's from wine, one's from beer, but again, that's the same species because they both are vinegar. If you have wine that got mixed with the vinegar, whether the vinegar fell into wine, whether the wine fell into the vinegar, and they were evaluated based on if it gives a taste, because these are considered as two different things, and therefore again, we go based on if it gives a taste.